If I bleed tonight, if I am sad tonight, I don't have a job to find. And if I work tonight, if I'm so tired tonight, I'll fall asleep when I'm home, when I'm home. Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Power Slam Podcast. I got all your letters and your emails and your faxes and your pages. You were saying, I don't want a merger podcast with Finn and Sondra. I want the dream team. I want Finn and Kenny. So Finn, I am here to rescue you and get your ratings back up. How are you?
Oh, thank you, Kenny. Thank you very much. Right, well, we should point out to everyone who doesn't already know that you are in the States once again.
I can't stay away. It's getting to a point now where when yesterday I went through customs, the guy looked at my passport and he was like, why are you here this time? I'm like, just a wee holiday. Because you can't say, you have to say holiday. Because if you say, oh, I'm here to just film some stuff, they're like, what? So you need to be careful. But yeah, I'm here in Chicago.
You shouldn't even be talking about this on the podcast.
I know. I'm going to get myself in shit. Oh, well. I'm here in Chicago for All Out and Starcast weekend. Arrived yesterday. Went to the hotel yesterday, did some press, got some interview time with Darby Allin, Marco Stunt, Luchasaurus, and Jungle Boy, which are all up on the YouTube channel. Now I'm going to be going in later today, getting some interviews with, I think, Dean Malenko, potentially, Tony Schiavone. So a lot of people today, but it's, do you know, there's a buzz, Finn, at the hotel. There's a buzz in the building, there's a buzz about what's going on. So there is that atmosphere that you want in one of those weekends here. And I think that's a good start for them. Because we've said ourselves, right, we've said, you know, Fighter Fest and Fight for the Fallen didn't quite pack the punch that Double or Nothing did. So this is their, hopefully, big oomph to, you know, have a really great show before TV starts in October, which I think you would agree is when the real test will begin.
The real action begins, absolutely. This needs some welly, as you said, some oomph. It needs some punch. You know, it needs all those things. It needs the momentum going into TV, of course. So what's the mood regarding the arrival of NXT on USA Network on Wednesday nights? Is anyone talking about that?
Well, you know, it is one of those things where people are kind of not, they are accepting that it's there. But there is kind of this reaction of people don't really seem to care that much. And I think it comes from not a place of like people going, we're better than it, but I think that, you know, I'll give an example. I spoke to Luchasaurus and he talked about, and you know, this is my, you know, throw hands up, I didn't do my research as much as I should. I also didn't know I was going to be interviewing him, so I didn't know Luchasaurus was in NXT back in 2012. I did not know this, but Luchasaurus was part of NXT, and the vibe that I got when I was talking to him, and he was kind of bringing up the fact that he'd been in NXT before, and I think in NXT he was known as Judas Devlin back in FCW, and he was kind of on the initial kind of spurts of NXT, and then he was also in Lucha Underground where he, you know, developed himself into what he is now. But the vibe from the talent seems to be more like, we are an alternative, and we wouldn't have, you know, I think it was Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt, they were like, you know, WWE would never want us. You know, there's no, like, that we wouldn't fit in with what they want to do, so this is the place we need to be. And I think there is a kind of a us versus them in some ways, and hopefully that'll translate well when they go to TV and have to start fighting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and they are right as well. I mean, there's a lot of people in AEW who WWE wouldn't give a second look to. They wouldn't give them the time of day. And in many ways, that should be motivation. I'm sure it will be motivation to the people in AEW who know that this is it. You know, they've got to make this work. The AEW's got to work for everyone, in particular them, because what are they going to do? You know, WWE isn't going to give them a job if this doesn't work out. There are people in AEW who WWE would, of course, sign, but not everyone. And for the ones who know that WWE is not an option, that makes you know, AAW even more important, and the success of it absolutely crucial to their careers, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that, you know, they had there was just little things when I was at the hotel yesterday, and I was, you know, that was the first night, right? But they had a couple of things in the Starcast Hotel that I thought just set the mood. Like, as soon as you walk in, I don't know if you can see this on your Facebook friend, but I'm going to send it to you while we're on the line here. But there was a, as soon as you walked into the Starcast Hotel, the first thing you saw was a big kind of AEW thing, and they had the throne. They had the throne from Double or Nothing that Cody had smashed in, you know. So they had that. They then had like merchandise all around. They you know, and then they had this. They had, you know, one of those things where you like you take like a hammer and you bash the ground and the bell, because you need to get it up to the top or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They've got one of those around. They've got huge banners with all the talent on it and stuff. And it, you know, it feels like something. It feels like something's happening. So. And, you know, the other thing is people forget that, you know, Moxley, who was one of the, you know, we finished Double or Nothing and Moxley was the guy. And he's obviously not going to be on Double or All Out because of his injury. And but he also can't be at Starcast because he's not allowed to fly.
Oh, really? Wow.
But it doesn't seem to have dampened the mood. People don't seem to be, you know, down about it. I think people want, I mean, we've seen this from some of the feedback to maybe fight for the Fallen. People want this to work really badly, and I think that I think, as you said, they need to pack a punch on this show. I think they will. I think that they, you know, they have a strong card. They're now starting to do things that are going to have stakes to them. You know, they're going to be introducing the tag titles soon and the women's titles. So there's people are going to be fighting for things. We're past the exhibition stage now, which I think is good.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at the size of Hangman Page's guns. Look at those muscles. He's a future world champion with arms like that. Vince McMahon will be on the phone.
I should say though, so the on the big poster I put up on Twitter, so if you want to go have a look at it, just go into my Twitter account, you can see it. But it says All Elite Fleet, and people were speculating when I put it up, like, is that the name of the TV show? No, I think it's just that's the fleet of wrestlers.
Yes,
that they have. So
do we know when they're going to announce the name of the TV program?
We do not. We don't know anything yet. I mean, I assume that information is going to be the next thing coming out after this show. But yeah. They're also going to be doing a special tonight on TNT, which is going to be a sort of introduction to AEW, a preview to All Out. So that's going to air on TNT tonight. Matt Jackson had said last night on stage that, you know, he's seen a rough cut of and it's really good. So that'll be their kind of debut to the TNT audience.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what sort of numbers that draws. I'm sure everyone will be watching that very closely.
Yes, to see what
the buzz is amongst the masses.
Yeah, exactly. And also, AEW did announce last night that they're going to be returning to the Sears Center Chicago for the November 27th episode of AEW on TNT, which is kind of interesting that the previous weekend, Chicago is going to be home to Survivor Series weekend.
Oh,
so there's going to be, you know, I think it's Friday SmackDown, Saturday Takeover, Sunday Survivor Series, Monday Raw, Tuesday, I guess, a rest for the fans, and then Wednesday AEW. So
wow, that's a lot of wrestling, isn't it?
It's a lot of wrestling for one place. But you know,
if it's drawing a different audience, it doesn't matter because it'll be a different, it'll be different fans coming to watch the show. So they'll just be, you know, their enthusiasm won't be drained by, you know, the galaxy of stars they've seen over the previous weekend, because it'll be a different audience, which I believe I've said before, I think that's what AEW is seeking, is a different audience.
Yeah, 100%. And even like I was skimming through here, you know, for the first 5 weeks of TV, they've already got stuff advertised. Like week one in Washington, October 2nd, they've got Jon Moxley live, Cody Rhodes versus Sammy Guevara, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega against Jericho and two mystery partners, and the first ever AEW Women's Champion will be crowned. Then October 9th, they've got Moxley against Spears and Young Bucks against Private Party in an AEW tag title tournament match. Wednesday, October 16th in Philadelphia, first ever AEW World Title defense by Paige or Jericho, and first ever AEW Women's title defense. Then October 23rd in Pittsburgh, John Moxley will be in action, and it'll be the semi-finals of the AEW Tag Title Tournament. And then Wednesday, October 30th in Charleston, Jericho is in action, Moxley is in action, and the first ever AEW Tag Champs will be crowned. So it's interesting that they're doing stuff here. It's an interesting idea to promote stuff that's going to be on the show, but not in a way that, like, you know, if you go to a WWE show, it's like, you know, here's the six-man tag that's happening, but that's really just going to be the dark match or whatever. So, I mean, yeah. I wonder if they keep that going. Do they keep, you know, sort of having storyline stuff in place that they can announce certain stuff far in advance that won't give stuff away? Because I think that would be an interesting hook that you don't really get anywhere else.
That's right. I mean, if they're planning that far ahead, I mean, I guess New Japan does it. I mean, if you go on the New Japan schedule, they have lineups out many weeks in advance. But I mean, as far as WWE goes, yeah. I mean, that's because they're constantly changing the booking plans. So they can't really plan that far ahead. You might get like a MSG lineup, for instance, might be released far in advance. But apart from that, typically it isn't. So we'll have to see what happens with AEW. The good news is it sounds to me like they've got a plan. They know where they're going. They've got it all laid out. And that is a very good sign. The time that may change is if their ratings aren't where AEW and TNT would like them to be, and there's pressure on them to do something different to boost numbers. And at that point, will they be able to plan as far ahead? But none of that, you know, that's all unknowable at the moment because we don't know what ratings they're going to draw. And we don't know how much pressure TNT is going to put on them to get the numbers up if they're only slightly below projections. So there's a lot of unknowns at the moment, Kenny. So
well, one other thing I wanted to ask you about was, because obviously there's a lot of press happening right now, and Jericho was on Busted Open Radio the other day, and this is what he had to say about the Wednesday Night Wars. He said, "I think WWE is great, but there's too much WWE as it is. By adding another 2 hours, that really dilutes the product. It dilutes their mindset, it dilutes the focus. It's a reactionary move that's done by a guy who wants to start a war. We don't care if you want to start a war. That was never our intention. There's no war for us. We're just doing what we're doing. People there don't like that, and they're reacting to it, and it just dilutes their own product." How much of that do you think is fair in what Jericho's saying?
I would say most of it's unfair. The thing is, NXT... was it you and I talked about this 2 weeks ago? I mean, NXT, oh, it was on the other one, wasn't it? I mean, really, they're only extending NXT by about 35, 40 minutes per week.
And I've not heard anybody else talk about that. I think we're the only people who've talked about it, because the NXT show tends to be 57, 58 minutes long.
Yes.
A two-hour show without ad breaks is 1 hour 30. So yes. It's an extra 30 minutes. It's an extra 30 minutes. It's an extra third, say.
Absolutely. And some weeks back, you read out the full list of talent that's on the NXT roster. And that didn't include all the people that they've got training who still hadn't made their debuts or maybe had only appeared once or twice. And there's a lot of people in that system who, if you look through the lineup of old NXT stars, who we might have only seen like once, like last year, and have never seen again. So there's so much talent in the system that are, you know, crying out for an opportunity, crying out for some TV time. But even if you look at the list of talent that you read out that day, who are NXT regulars, sometimes you'll only see certain performers like once every 3 or 4 weeks. So, I mean, I think that's going to be good for them that they're going to be appearing, you would have thought, at least every other week. If you look at it like that, then how is it being diluted? It's not being diluted at all. In fact, they're doing more to sort of maximize the talent who are totally underutilized. So I reject that totally, but I mean, that's not surprising for me to reject something that Chris Jericho said, you know. and as far as a war, well, in a sense, I guess he's got more of a point there, because they've established they're going out on Wednesday night, and then they've decided to take NXT from the network. I know it's still going to be on the network, but it's going from the network onto USA Network, and it's going to be going head-to-head with AEW and TNT. That's a fair comment. But, I mean, AEW, in a sense, that's a national wrestling promotion that's launching, that's going to be competing for McMahon's dollars, for WWE's dollars. So, I mean, they're the ones who have launched effectively in the same marketplace as WWE. WWE is the established brand. So if you want to start name calling, who are the ones who are really starting the war here? I mean, they're the ones coming for a piece of McMahon's, you know, McMahon is the truly only national company. WWE is truly the only, I mean, obviously Impact is national to an extent. And there are Ring of Honor is to an extent in that it's running pay-per-views. But WWE is really the only national, truly national company. And AEW is coming into what is effectively McMahon's territory. So who's really starting the war? You know, I'm not knocking AEW for doing what it's doing. I think it's great. We've talked many times, you and I, Kenny, and many other people have talked about how competition is good for the industry. And I absolutely believe that to be true. Most people do, and most people in WWE do. So I'm not faulting AEW for doing what it's done and what it's going to do. I think it's tremendous.
It's almost more like, you know, what did you expect when you poke the bear kind of thing?
Absolutely. You know, AEW is coming into a national, it's going to be a national wrestling promotion on national TV.
I think what's interesting to me about this whole thing is that, like, so by all accounts and by all reports, WWE offered Cody and the Bucks and Kenny Omega big money, right, to jump, and they didn't take the money. And then, you know, Vince had the chance to keep Jericho, and he decided not to. And now Jericho's one of the lead guys on the other side who, you know, is the only guy who is really like a national star in terms of, like, well, I mean, Moxley as well.
And Jim Ross, I would have thought.
Yeah,
Nationally, they're the three biggest names attached to AEW, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're the three biggest names. But they were all three entirely avoidable problems for WWE. You know, they hired Jim Ross back in 2017. They never used them. They, you know, with Moxley, I'm not saying they drove him away, but, you know, they had their own way that they do things, and that was that.
Well, he did, didn't they?
Well, I'm just kind of,
they drove him away.
The way I'll phrase it is, they had a chance to listen to his concerns and let him be a bit more creatively fulfilled, put it that way.
Yes.
And they opted not to, so he then opted to leave. So
there's some irony is that the guy who was, you know, they called the lunatic fringe, they drove him insane.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's this thing where, like, there's some parallels to, you know, when WCW got big in 95, 96, you know, they lost Hogan and Savage, who I know weren't, you know, the names that changed the ratings or whatever, but, like, you know, it was people leaving WWF, and, you know, the argument is there, well, they couldn't afford to pay Nash and Hall, so that had to happen. But there is this kind of history of Vince throws certain people away sometimes, and then those people end up still having a lot of value, and another company ended up picking them up and kind of using them for some of the value they still have. I just think it's an interesting parallel.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, there's nothing wrong with any of this. I mean, you know, we need competition. We need another national promotion. All this is good for the business. But it's just like, you know, if you're AEW, you're starting up, you're going to be on national TV, you are going to be competing for the same advertisers and sponsors who want to advertise on a wrestling program each week, aren't you? So you have arrived in what is, prior to the arrival of AEW, is WWE basically has got not the monopoly, because there are other wrestling companies, but pretty much the monopoly on national wrestling TV prior to the premiere of AEW show on TNT. So if you want to advertise on a truly national wrestling program, you are going to advertise on a WWE program. Once AEW arrives, October 2nd, I believe it is, you have a choice. So you may instead choose to spend your money on AEW instead of WWE, and all the other things, sponsorship deals, licensing deals, all these other things, AEW has entered a market that was previously controlled by WWE. You know, I am not faulting AEW for doing this. I am just stating a fact that this has happened. So if you are going to go into what WWE views as its market, then you're going to provoke a reaction. So, you know, I'm not pointing the finger of blame at either company, really, because what's happened is just a natural sequence of events. It was always going to happen, you know, that WWE would respond. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, it's all about, you know, pick a side. every story needs a hero and a villain. And we all need to choose our heroes and villains. And you go on any wrestling website that's got comments underneath. And for months now, Kenny, you know this. Everyone listening to this, I'm sure knows this. You've got AEW and WWE fans trashing each other. It's just like going back to 1996 and 1997 when WCW and WWF fans did it. So it's just, you know, it's just another generation version of what's happened many times before. You know, obviously message boards didn't exist back in the 80s when Vince expanded and into all the territories and basically took over. But had they done, you would have had local regional promotions fans arguing with WWF fans back in 1984. It would have happened. So it's just now fans have got more of a forum to express themselves. I mean, you go back to Powerslam. You used to get letters about this all the time. Some of them, you just couldn't run them because they were just so inflammatory and just people were just, you know, they were just so biased. There was no sort of independent thought there. They were just like hell bent on vengeance, you know, this company that was the enemy, you know, their perceived enemy to the company that they loved. And they were trying to put them out of business and all this other type of stuff. And you'd look at the letter and you'd say, well, just take a step back and look at the big picture, will you? And you knew that if you printed a letter like that, it would encourage other people to send in letters like that. And, you know, I didn't really like that on the letters page. You wanted sort of more balanced views, if possible.
I mean, you got involved in pro wrestling, Finn. I don't know if you're going to find as many balanced views. It's like going to McDonald's and trying to look for a healthy meal.
But you go in any of those comments things. You've got people writing, what I mean is people writing pretty vile things about other fans. And I mean, there was some stuff on this page, which in hindsight was, you know, regrettable. But I mean, I had the filter there to get rid of the very worst stuff. And some of the comments there on these websites, I don't want to read stuff like that with people being just vile to each other because they choose to support another wrestling company. You know, it's just...
I also think it's funny that, like, we're, you know, there is this kind of choice being made, but we don't actually know what each show is going to be like yet. You know,
well, exactly. And you don't have to make a choice. Support them both.
So let's kind of quickly run down the cards for this weekend. We've got the two big shows tomorrow. Well, there's three shows, actually. There's also New Japan's Royal Quest show as well. But for the WWE and AEW shows, we've got the NXT UK TakeOver Cardiff, which has Travis Banks against Noam Dar, a last man standing match with Dave Mastiff against Joe Coffey, Zach Gibson and James Drake defend the tag titles against Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster and Gallus, Mark Coffey Wolfgang. Tony Storm defend the UK women's title against Kaylee Ray, and Walter defend the UK title against Tyler Bate. What do you make of the card? Also, I should mention that WWE's social media has said that Cesaro is on his way to the UK to check out NXT UK, which I guess means he's probably going to have a impromptu match as well. So what do you make of the card, and is it a fitting follow-up to TakeOver Blackpool?
Well, I think so. I mean, I've got to be honest, I haven't seen a whole lot of NXT UK lately. So,
what have you been doing to yourself, Finn? Are you avoiding watching wrestling now?
That's right, yeah. I've just been working on that front door, you know, doing my skirting boards. Just much more interesting. Now, from what I've read, people seem to think that it is a strong show. I think Walter versus Tyler Bate, you don't really need to know, you know, the ins and outs of the actual specific pipe for this match to know that that's a big match. And that should provoke a heck of a reaction. I would think that's going to be match of the night. I think the tag match has got quite a lot of potential as well. Gibson and James Drake are a really good team. Looking forward to seeing what Travis Banks and Noam Dar can do. I think Noam Dar's made like quite a comeback in NXT UK, so which I'm really pleased to see. Got himself in tremendous shape. And he was somebody that, you know, he was never really going to make it on 205 Live, was never really going to, you know, be featured as a top star there. And I think he's a much better fit in NXT UK. But yeah, I mean, overall, I'm sure it's going to be a good show. I mean, they'll be eager to please. Same day, of course, we've got New Japan Royal Quest from the Copper Box Arena in London, which is headlined by Okada versus Minoru Suzuki. So that looks like a really, you know, pretty damn big show as well. Well, anyway, what do you think of the NXT UK show, Kenny?
Yeah, I mean, I'm same as you. I've not seen a lot of it because there's just so much sort of there's not enough time to watch all the wrestling that's going to be. But I think the card looks pretty good. I think Walter and Tyler Bate's going to be a great match. I think the women's match is going to be great. So I'm probably not going to have a chance to watch it until I sort of fly home on Sunday. But I'm looking forward to seeing it. And you know, like you said, the with the Royal Quest show as well, you've got Okada and Suzuki for the IWGP title. You've also got Zack Sabre Jr. against Tanahashi.
Yeah.
Tomohiro Ishii against Kenta. So there's a lot going on there as well. So yeah, it's going to be, I mean, there's essentially three shows on one day. I mean, thank God it's a Saturday, so some people who want to try and... There's going to be some crazy bastards listening to this who are going to watch all three within a day. And I applaud you. I applaud you, every one of you. It's just a bit much for me.
Yeah, I mean, we will definitely be reviewing NXT UK TakeOver Cardiff next week, won't we, Kenny?
Yes, and we'll be reviewing AEW All Out, and then we'll try and do... We'll try and, in the next couple of weeks, kind of catch up a little bit in New Japan and see what's going on.
All right.
Because I know we have not covered it for a wee while. So, yeah, we'll try and kind of catch up on that wee bit as well. All Out this Sunday. Tomorrow. All Out tomorrow, we have a 10-match card, which is including the two pre-show matches, which is Best Friends against Dark Order. Winners receive a first-round bye in the AEW Tag Title Tournament, along with the 21-woman Casino Battle Royale, which includes Brandi Rhodes, Nyla Rose, Britt Baker, Awesome Kong, Jazz, Teal Piper, and a lot of surprises. The 21-woman Battle Royale and Private Party against Angelico and Jack Evans are the two pre-show matches. And then the main card is Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Marco Stunt against SCU. Rio versus Hikaru Shida, Darby Allin, Joey Janela, and Jimmy Havoc in a triple threat cracker battle clash. Cody versus Sean Spears with Tully Blanchard in the corner. The Lucha Brothers against Young Bucks in a ladder match for the AAA World Tag Team titles. Best Friends against Dark Order, like I mentioned. Pac versus Kenny Omega and Adam Page versus Chris Jericho. What do you make of the card, Finn? And what match do you think is going to be the match that people come out of Chicago talking about?
I mean, I would think it's probably going to be the ladder match because I imagine they're going to be doing something. You know, is there anything left for the Young Bucks to do in a ladder match? I'm sure there is. I'm sure they're working on it right now. I'm sure they've been working on it for weeks. So I think the ladder match is going to be spectacular. I hope no one is injured. Jericho versus Adam Page. I'm hoping for both of them that that's a really good match. I'm not going to make any predictions on how good the match is going to be.
Well, this is one of those scenarios where, you know, they've not really had a chance to work together. So
no.
it's not like they've been working together on live events to try and get their chemistry down. So it's I think it's quite a hard thing to do, to have a match with someone that you've not really wrestled with before on such a big stage. And that's really going to be the test.
Wait a minute. Chris Jericho is the best in the world at what he does. It's not going to be hard for him at all.
No.
He's one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. He'll tell you that every time you speak to him. You know this, Kenny.
Moving on.
So I'm sure they will do something together when the fans aren't there and get it worked out and everything. That's what I would do if I was in their position, because there's a lot of pressure on them. It's the title match and they need to have a stormer of a bout. It needs to be better than people think it's going to be. And I think there are some high expectations for this match. We'll see if they live up to them. But for those two guys, I really hope that they can deliver something special. I think it's going to be Jericho who walks out of the... who leaves the ring as champion. And I think that's the right decision. What do you think, Kenny? Do you think it'll be Jericho who goes over?
I think it has to be. It has to be Jericho because he's the guy you want as champion going into TV. If you want to build Paige as a big star, I think, you know, you don't give it away straight away. You look at like Steve Austin. Steve Austin didn't just all of a sudden become champion. He fought Bret Hart and he couldn't beat him. And then he fought, you know, there was a long process to him becoming the champion. And I feel like long processes are kind of what people would like to see So I think that the long story for Paige is going to be better. But I think Jericho winning is the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, if you think Austin, he's been, the big breakout for him would have been obviously King of the Ring 96. I guess the previous month with Savio Vega, that would have been May of 1996.
You just had to get a Savio Vega reference in there, didn't you?
And it was not until end of March of 1998, WrestleMania 14, that he won the title from Shawn Michaels. So you're right, we're talking nearly 2 years, 22 months, 22, 23 months for him to complete his journey. I think it's got to be Jericho, really. I watched the Road to All Out episode in which Jim Ross interviewed Hangman Page, and he was sort of hinting that if he didn't win the match, he didn't win the title, then he might have to go back and work on his family's tobacco farm. I just thought that was I just couldn't take that seriously. I just thought that was...
It's like when Shawn Michaels had a...
So you're not going to be on AEW on TNT then? You're going to be working on the tobacco farm? Is that what's going to happen if you don't win? God.
It's like when Shawn Michaels made a bad investment.
Well, exactly.
So, yeah, anyway. I think there's a lot of stuff on the card. Like, you know, one of the things I've noticed from being out here this weekend is that, you know, the Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Marco Stunt group, they've got a lot of occult following. People like that trio. You know, I was talking to Luchasaurus, and one of the things he said to me that was interesting was that he was kind of looking at Kane and X-Pac from like 1999 as a little bit of a kind of, you know, a way to kind of figure out how him and Jungle Boy are going to be a team.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I think that's a really good way to look at it. SCU are massively over. So I think that's going to be a really fun mid-card match. And you know, Riho and Hikaru Shida, they obviously were part of that great six women tag at Double or Nothing. That's going to be really good. I think there's a lot of good stuff on the show potentially.
Yeah, I mean, I hope Pac as well. I mean, this is his AEW debut, as everyone knows. I think he needs a win. You know, he needs to defeat Kenny Omega, and I think that'll be huge for him if he does. So I'm hoping that they're going to you know, roll the dice on that one. And to go all the way with Pac, he needs the win. Surely he can't lose to Kenny Omega. But, you know, there again, if Kenny Omega wins and Chris Jericho wins the title, then that sets up Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho, doesn't it? But, I mean, that could be a match way down the line. I think Pac needs the win more than Kenny Omega does.
Yeah, 100%. I've also got to ask you, because, you know, we're a day away as we record this, or day of, if you're listening to this in the main feed, from All Out. I do need to ask you about CM Punk. Do you think he turns up on the show or not?
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, maybe. You would think so, wouldn't you? I mean, I don't know.
I'll tell you this. I picked up the... You know I love a program, a souvenir program. So yes. I picked up the StarCast program.
How much was the StarCast program?
It was $20.
$20.
Well, there was one at 15, there was one at 20. The one at 20 was like, it's like a special cover with CM Punk, but it's like a, it's done in the style of like a 1980s LJN wrestling figure.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm a sucker for all that kind of stuff. So I picked it up. The funny thing was, I went to get it and I went and got Louise of, Molly Spartan, I shouldn't say Louise. Molly Spartan from her crew, she loves like pins, so I went and got like a wee CM Punk pin, and I go up to get them, and who do you think was serving me?
I have no idea, Kenny, tell me.
Don West.
Wow. Oh yeah, he was the merch guy at TNA Impact Wrestling forever,
and now he's the merch guy at StarCast, and he was working all, and he's trying to upsell me, and I was like, on your sale, Don. Still got it. But anyway.
Fantastic. Is that what you said to him?
No, but I was thinking it. I did think it. But anyway, so he, but in the program, actually, let me, I'm lifting my laptop and I'm moving around a little bit, but just for the purposes of getting this, I think it's valid for the conversation. Pick it up here.
Can I just say that I was always a fan of Don West?
Yeah.
I thought he was really good.
Yeah, I like
that. I would just like to throw that in.
Just throw that in. It just gives us a wee compliment. So the program's got like, you know, the kind of what's happened at StarCast and a couple of profiles on like
tail of the tape from Alex Marvez, the big matches for It All Out. And then there's an article from, who is it?
Not a bit. That was enthralling.
a bit on the commentary. So it's an article by Sports Illustrated's Justin Barrasso, and this is in the StarCast program. So make of this what you will. It is called The Past, Present, and Future of CM Punk. And the first sentence is, the last great pop in wrestling belongs to CM Punk. And then it goes on to talk about his career and, you know, if done correctly, Punk's return to wrestling would overshadow anything else, blah, blah. So it's a weird thing to put in a program.
Can I just say, what about, Kenny, when Drew Galloway returned to ICW? That was a pretty big pop.
Well, Justin Barrasso's always hated the Scottish people. He's always been a prick.
Actually, I mean, you know, ICW was pretty damn hot back then, and that was a pop.
Oh, yeah,
I remember watching that a few times thinking, wow, that was something else.
Yeah, I know people who were there who were just saying it was insane. Because that, at that point, it wasn't, you didn't get big WWE stars turning up. But, no, but the thing I was going to say is, I feel like, you know, in a StarCast program, an official one that you're selling, to have an article about CM Punk like that, I think he is going to turn up. My gut says yes.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, what gets me about this is, what's he really going to contribute? Is he going to make a comeback? If he's just there not to really contribute and be the open close quote best in the world again, if he's just going to be there to, you know, phone it in or coast, then why the hell would anyone want him to come back? If he's not coming back to really be a go-getter and to prove something, then I would rather he didn't return to pro wrestling. You know, and I'm not picking up those vibes that he really wants it anymore. I mean, and I could be completely wrong about that. And if he is coming back and he's coming back to be the guy again, then terrific. But if he's not coming back to do that, then I hope he doesn't return. And I've written about CM Punk on, you know, for Patreon. And the guys, many times, you know, not pro wrestling, just, I'm through, that's it, stop hassling me, stop bothering me, I'm not interested, it's over. You know, and if he's changed his view on that and he really wants to come back and he's hungry and he's enthusiastic and he wants to make AEW into this monster that really, you know, it's hard for me to believe that it could ever overtake WWE, but certainly steal a big piece of it. Its audience, then I think that's tremendous. But if he's not coming back to do that, then I would rather he didn't come back at all.
I mean, I think if he is, if he does come back, I don't think he's coming back just for a one-off appearance. You know, if he comes back, he's coming back. And I mean, if you were to say 3-4 CM Punk matches a year, I mean, you would take it, you would want it. Wrestling's, I mean, you know yourself, you said this to me before, we had this conversation where, like, sometimes you think you're done with wrestling, and that's it. And then it kind of sucks you back in sometimes.
Mm.
So, and I'm, look, I mean, it's a different story for Punk. We've went over so many times all of the elements of it, so let's not regurgitate the same stuff. But at the same time, this is the first time he's agreed to do something wrestling related. He did do that promo, if you saw it, which was really fun, when it was him in a ring for about StarCast. And he took a bump and said, that'll be $20,000, Conrad. and then he like did this promo about how like everybody cancels on StarCast, but he's not going to be one of the people that cancels because nobody can tell him what to do. And he was quite fired up when he was talking about it. Now, this might just be him promoting this one-time thing and that's it, but I don't know. I'm still holding out hope. It's like I've went on a date with him and he's not called me back. And I think, well, Finn, maybe his phone broke. Maybe it drowned. Maybe he's getting a replacement sent out, but it was a weekend, so they can't get it till Monday. Like, I am the delusional date on the other end right now.
See, lost my number. All these things could have happened. There's all these perfectly rational explanations for him not calling me back.
Exactly. I think they're all perfectly rational.
But yeah. I mean, if he's coming back and he's coming back and he wants it, and you know, he's somebody that's you know, salivating about being involved in pro wrestling again, and he wants to do something that he's not done before, then I'm all for it. But if he's not, then maybe, you know, because it's we're closing in on, what are we now, 5.5 years since he did anything in wrestling? So we don't even know if he still can do it anymore. Maybe he can. You know, anyway, all will be revealed this weekend.
All will be revealed this weekend. I also do want to say, yesterday I was going into the, there's like a collector's corner at StarCast. And I was like, I'm not spending loads of money on merch this time, Finn. I'm not doing it. And then I walk in and I see this bin. And I thought you'd get a kick out of this. Do you remember when you, in the back of Power Slam, like the first few Power Slam magazines, there was the WCW kind of event catalog that would be on the back, and it was in purple.
Yes.
And they had the advert for these WCW action figures, and I've never seen them before. And this guy had a bin full of them, and it was like the figure in a bag. So anyway, I got a deal where I got 10 of them for $40. So I managed to get Surfer Sting, Red and Yellow, Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan with Jimmy Hart, Ric Flair, Harlem Heat, the Nasty Boys and the Giant. 10 figures, $40, Finn. I'm going to put a picture up on my Twitter of it, but I thought an absolute steal.
Fantastic, Kenny. I'm very happy for you. Do you know, I've never revealed this before, I have one wrestling action figure, which was bought for me by somebody else in about 1991 or 1992, or maybe somewhere around about then. Anyway, that is of Sting.
Okay, well, so why Sting? What's the reasoning behind having Sting as the figure?
I have no idea. Someone bought me this action figure, and I thought, are you taking the piss or what? And I just had to say, oh, thanks very much. And I have no idea why this person bought this action figure for me.
So let me get this straight. You decide to, like, you redo your house because you do it every 6 months, but, like, you get rid of most of your Power Slam gear, but you keep a 1991 Sting figure.
That's right. I can see it right here. It's next to a load of other junk that I've got on this sideboard. But, yeah, I can look at it right now. I could put a picture of it on Facebook, Kenny, if you want.
You should, yeah. Put a photo of Sting, your one action figure, up on...
And until this moment, I thought, oh, maybe it's worth some money. And now you've just ruined that one for me, haven't you?
Ach, well, you look down on all us action figure collectors. You deserve it.
You're probably right about that.
Let's kind of talk a little bit about Raw and SmackDown this week. What did you make of Raw overall? What were the highlights? What were the lowlights? Talk me through your thoughts.
I thought the one of the lowlights for sure for me was the tag team turmoil match. It was just went on and on, and the best thing about it was the fact that I'm not going to say this. No, I'm not going to say what I was about to say then. I just thought, wow, you know, this is your tag team division, and because we don't have the brand extension anymore, these are like all the teams. So it was the Viking Raiders versus the B team. First B team appearance on Raw for a while. Viking Raiders won very quickly. Gallows and Anderson then fought the Viking Raiders. Both teams were disqualified. Fans even didn't even really seem that bothered by the double disqualification. We then had the brand new team of Bobby Roode, or is it Robert Roode now, and Dolph Ziggler versus Lince Dorado and Gran Metalik. Oh, by the way, Kenny, you'll be aware of this. Didn't Kalisto make some comment on Twitter about how he's only got, was it 10 months remaining on his contract?
He did. And then, well, I mean, he's blocked me on Twitter, so I wouldn't know because he's a child. But he did put that status up, apparently, and then he deleted it in classic Kalisto fashion.
That's right. And possibly as a result of that, Roode and Ziggler smashed Dorado and Metalik. So well done, Kalisto. So then we had Roode and Ziggler versus Revival, which was like heel versus heel. That felt pretty flat. Roode pinned Dawson. Then it was Roode and Ziggler versus Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder. My God, Hawkins and Ryder were squashed like a couple of glorified jobbers. So that was pretty sad to see. Then it was Roode and Ziggler versus Heavy Machinery. This is the full, apart from the tag team champions, this is the full weight of the tag team division. Oh, of course, minus the Usos, who still haven't been brought back. And, you know, fans did kind of get into this one. You know, Otis did finally sort of pull the fans into it. And then Roode pinned Tucker. So, So that's it. So Roode and Ziggler, a brand new team, basically are now, you know, defeated the entire, pretty much the entire tag team division. And they will now face Braun and Rollins for the WWE tag team title at Clash of Champions. So, yeah, tag team turmoil for me, Kenny, was, I don't know, it was the low point of the show, but not far off. One of the best things on the show, I thought, was Sasha Banks versus Natalya. And the reason for that was that they really went at it with some, you know, some, felt like there was some malice there. Like, it really felt personal. And it's not often that we really get that, you know, that atmosphere, that vibe from a WWE feud. And it felt to me like these two really despised each other. Natalya sadly tapped out to Sasha. What I took from this, Kenny, was that if Vince saw Natalya as a true star, she wouldn't have tapped out. She would have passed out from pain. That's the difference. So I'd say Natalya's in a little bit of trouble right now. There was also like a what was that? It was another match. Ricochet versus Drew McIntyre. What a match that was. That was a match, wasn't it, Kenny?
Yeah, no, it was really good. I am, you know, I can't help but weep for Drew because I really want to see him as the last King of Scotland. But, you know, I guess we're leading to Ricochet and Andrade as the final, which should be fun. You know, but I mean, yeah, the match was really good. I also echo your sentiments about the Sasha and Natalya thing. I also liked when Sasha did her promo at the beginning of the show. I like that she didn't try to win the crowd over, as so many of these heel promos do. You know, they do these promos about turning, but like it's kind of the fans end up popping for you.
Yeah,
and she didn't. She did it in a different cadence where she tried to not be. Try to not get cheered, and I appreciated the effort.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing you can say about Baron Corbin, isn't it? That he never sought cheers ever as a villain. That's one thing you can say about him. Probably about the only thing.
Well, I mean, see, I like Corbin on the mic. I thought his promo was fun. I mean, I just don't ever want to see him wrestle. That's the only problem with Baron Corbin being a pro wrestler is that's the only thing I do not want to see him do.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, when you saw him with that crown on his head, did you not just think, King Corbin?
Yeah.
I bow to you, sir.
All hail King Corbin. I don't think so. You know, it's, you know. Bayley versus Nikki Cross. Kind of felt sorry for Nikki Cross in this one. Just seemed like a bit of a pointless match, really. Not much noise at all. And no Alexa Bliss this week.
No, is she okay?
I don't know. I mean, she wasn't on the show. She didn't come out with Nikki, who was basically reduced to a bit of a, you know, enhancement role. So, I mean, that was very disappointing. Not sure what's going on with Alexa. I haven't read anything about. I have no idea why she's not there. What else was on the show? There was Braun Strowman versus AJ Styles. Kind of felt like this was a bit of a anticlimactic main event. We had a ref bump, and then Gallows and Anderson ran in and used the chair. Braun got the chair. When the ref came round at ringside, he saw Braun with the chair and disqualified him. That felt like a really dated finish. And I thought for sure that Seth was going to have to come out and help Braun, you know, save Braun from the attack by the OC. And instead, Braun absolutely destroyed Gallows, Anderson and Styles. So I thought it was a bit of a flat end to the show. What did you think of the main event?
I mean, I liked it. I think Braun and Seth is an interesting match at the pay-per-view. I mean, I saw what they were going for. I think it all depends on... And in the back of my mind, I'm just thinking, please don't let Braun be kind of built up again to just kind of do nothing again. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've been down this road many times before. So that's kind of my main concern. I did want to ask you about something. You posted this on Facebook.
Yeah.
The arena where they're holding Hell in a Cell, the Golden Center, as it was called, the Golden One Center, have said, get ready, as the Fiend Bray Wyatt challenges Braun Strowman or Seth Rollins to Hell in a Cell match. So it appears it was, Meltzer wrote it in the Observer as well, that is the plan. Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, is going to challenge the winner of Strowman and Rollins to Hell in a Cell. What do you make of that? You know, sometimes we talk about what we want to see these new characters do. Are you happy that he might be going for the title so soon or not?
I mean, it's tough to know, really. It was obviously such a huge win for him at SummerSlam. He hasn't really done that much since. All we saw this week was a compilation of Firefly Funhouse clips. So neither Bray nor The Fiend was on Raw or SmackDown. That's correct, isn't it? Nothing original from him there. So on one hand, you sort of think, well, are they rushing him into this Hell in a Cell match, which will take place October 6th in Atlanta, Georgia? But on the other hand, you know, that was a big thing that happened at SummerSlam.
Do you strike while the iron's hot?
Strike while the iron is hot. I mean, you know, the Bray Wyatt seems kind of too soon to put the Universal title on him. But, you know, it's weird, isn't it, Kenny, that so often as wrestling fans, we want something big to happen. We want something momentous to occur that's going to get people talking. And then when something like this is announced, we're kind of hesitant to embrace it. Oh, you're like, what are they doing here? And like, maybe they're going to do something huge, something momentous that's really going to change things. And maybe we should embrace it. You know, maybe we should say, yes, this is tremendous. You know, bring it on. We want something different to happen. We want a guy. I mean, I know he's not in a sense not a new character because he's been there since 13 on the main roster, but The Fiend is a new character. So if Bray Wyatt were to win the Universal title, this would feel pretty radical. I would think this kind would feel very, it would be very newsworthy. It'd be a dramatic event, you know, and something that I think a lot of people maybe would welcome.
It's that fear of people going, they desperately don't want him to have the match at Hell in a Cell and become just another guy.
That's it. We don't want him to be another statistic. We don't want him to have this match and then lose. I mean, that would be the worst possible outcome. It's hard for me to believe that Braun Strowman is going to defeat Seth Rollins for the Universal title. So I think it's got to be Rollins versus The Fiend at Hell in a Cell. And if that match does occur, and if the match wasn't happening, then the Golden One Center would have deleted the tweet by now. So that's obviously going ahead. I think they've got to go all out here. I think they've got to really pull the trigger on The Fiend and give him the belt. So, and just see what he does with it. Because if he doesn't, then that's going to be a huge setback for him. You know, and that's the problem so many times with the Bray Wyatt character, is that when it came to the big match, he failed. And after a while, when a character fails, you stop believing in them. This doesn't answer the question of what they do with Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins at Clash of Champions, because it feels like Braun does have a bit more momentum than he previously had. So it almost makes me think that they've got to go for a non-finish there. Maybe with The Fiend doing a run-in. I don't know. Maybe.
Lots to consider. And then what about SmackDown this week? We saw Ali versus Buddy Murphy. We had Orton versus Big E. A lot of stuff happening on SmackDown this week.
Yes, definitely. I mean, Ali versus Buddy Murphy from the King of the Ring tournament. Fans were really into the action. Very unexpected finish with Ali scoring the pin on Murphy. And then Murphy afterwards raising Ali's hand after the finish. Are you thinking he's going to do the turn? And he didn't. Sportsmanlike behaviour. I mean, that was quite unexpected. I was so pleased for both men that fans were solidly, not even solidly, you know, enthused about this match. Enthused, Kenny. I mean, it was a hell of a match. What do you think of it?
I thought it was a really fun match. I thought that, I saw some people kind of a bit salty that Ali won, but I thought he kind of needed the win here.
Yeah.
Like, I think that Murphy's had some stuff going for him. I thought they had a really good match. They kind of, they over-exceeded expectations of what people had thought. And, you know, I think Ali really is somebody who, you know, he had that setback before in February. But I think he definitely is a star on the rise and is definitely somebody who I think you could see as a solid mid-card babyface guy that they, you know, give some time to. Whereas, I mean, Chad Gable should do anything he can do to get fired. Anything. But Ali, I think's definitely got something. I love the idea that he is, you know, he's a Muslim. He's someone who is fighting against stereotypes of people of his kind of, you know, of his, like him. And yeah. I think that's a really good story. And for once, they've not made that
something they've sort of exploited. So he feels fresh to me in that regard.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this was, you know, I know Ali's had some really good matches in WWE, but this felt like his biggest match to date.
Well, it was important because you talked last week about the King of the Ring. You were like, oh, I don't really care as well. But this felt like he won something. He advanced in something, and that gave it a purpose, and that purpose, kind of, I think, is why it felt like such a big win for him.
That's true, yeah. I mean, and Murphy's somebody who'd scored the win over Daniel Bryan, so people sort of recognise him now as a somebody. And this is the whole, you know, how it's all supposed to work in wrestling, is that you use stars to make stars. And as long as you then maintain that person's stardom, you know, going forward, so that they're somebody that we still have to care about, that's how you maintain someone's star and grow someone's star. So seldom has WWE done this, which is the reason why there aren't that many sort of guys and women who are really that over, which is a shame. But yeah, Ali versus Murphy, I think, was just a triumph of a match. We know it's going to be Kofi Kingston defending against Randy Orton at Clash of Champions, as we expect, as we pretty much expected. Orton said that he read out a letter that he'd received, claimed he received from Kofi's son Kai. And then Kingston went backstage, and him and Orton had a pretty realistic brawl, I felt, in the gorilla.
Orton was great on this show. He really was. I loved Randy Orton on this show.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really good brawl. It was something that we needed from Kingston, who I think a lot of what he does just doesn't really come across that realistic, especially brawling, which is without doubt the weakest part of his repertoire. So this felt pretty good, and Randy Orton DDT'd Kofi on the floor, and Kofi sold it, and that was really good. He didn't come back out later, which was, again, something that we need. We need more selling in this company. I've said that many times. People are probably sick of hearing me say that. That led later to a match between Randy Orton and Big E. I kind of felt like Big E sort of spoiled it a little bit, because he's there soliciting chants of New Day rocks and he's larking around. You know, this is supposed to be a grudge match. And I was kind of pleased when Orton scored the pin after the Revival had come out and drilled Big E behind the referee's back. I was like, Big E, take this seriously. You know, this isn't pancake time. You know, he's there, you know, messing around. It's supposed to be a grudge match. So I felt that Big E got his comeuppance there, Kenny.
There you go. Shade has been thrown, quite rightly so.
Shelton Benjamin's there. He's backstage saying he's looking for Chad Gable. Short-ass Chad Gable, who was right there. You know, where is he? And then Chad Gable pinned Shelton Benjamin in the match. And it was pretty sad watching this match, because it feels like they've been trying with Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin over the last few weeks, and fans just were not interested at all in this match. This was like night and day. This was the polar opposite of Ali versus Buddy Murphy. And then we had the big reveal at the end. Roman Reigns showed footage.
The big reveal at the end. The reveal of nothing. Why? This is so dull, this storyline now. Like, give me something. Not just like an old man looking like last week, and now you've got, was it Rowan, was it not? Like, it's not gripping my interest, Finn.
Well, I mean, I like this, Kenny. I'm going to have to disagree with you there. So Roman Reigns is in the show, the footage again. We think it's Rowan in the background. Brian goes ballistic. He starts slapping Rowan around. Rowan at one point backstage did say, "I did it." But I don't know whether we've misconstrued that. Maybe he was referring to some. I don't really understand that. And I think
it's meant to be that somebody else made him do it. And that's now the new intrigue. Who made him do it?
All right. Okay. So Brian is identifying that it is Rowan and it's not the impersonator from last week. So Brian goes mad. He says, then he comes out and says to Roman Reigns, you know, Rowan's a liar. He's betrayed me. I had no idea that he did this. Roman Reigns is in the ring. He obviously doesn't believe Brian. As soon as Brian gets in the ring, Roman Reigns smashes him with the spear, and that's the end of the show. But I felt like it moved the story along.
Well, hopefully next week it peaks me back in. But overall, I thought SmackDown was a good show.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. I mean, overall it was pretty good. I mean, we had... Should I just actually mention that Bayley was loudly calling spots?
Oh my God.
God, against Lacey Evans. This is Cena's legacy. We can thank John Cena for this. You know, he's gone, but he's still around, you know, in spirit. Thank you, John. Thank
for
you.
For leaving. I meant to ask you, John Cena's actually been following a lot of random people on Twitter. Has he followed you yet?
Well, no. I'm sure it's just moments away before he presses that button.
Can you imagine if he followed you? It would be like my favorite thing of the year.
So, I mean, it actually wasn't a bad match between Bayley and Lacey Evans, apart from the spot calling. And Lacey's bumps on certain moves still look terrible. Like, especially on the Bayley to belly. She doesn't seem to know how to take that bump. And I'm not quite sure why. But I thought overall, she actually had a pretty good match. But the end of the match, Kenny, you know, I almost shed a tear for Kairi Sane. What move did Bayley use to pin Lacey Evans? An elbow from the top.
Not even as good as Kairi's.
Not even as good as Kairi's. I mean, where you've got a move like that, no one else is allowed to use it. So, I mean, what I wanted after that was, never mind Charlotte, Kairi Sane confronting Bayley backstage, tacking her and beating her down. Her big heel turn.
You're going to be waiting a while, Finn.
But I mean, you know, that may seem like a bit of a, you know, frivolous point I'm making, but I don't think it is at all. You know, Bayley using the big elbow from the top rope, that's Kairi Sane's move. And in WWE, historically, if it's your move, no one else uses it. So I think that kind of illustrates where Kairi Sane sits in
the
overall scheme of things. Yeah, right down the bottom of the totem pole, which is a shame for her.
So that is all the time we've got for today. I need to rush over to StarCast now and try and get some more media. So Finn, what are the plugs? Where can people get in touch with you if they want to say hi, read one of your ebooks, or just stalk you in a very non-creepy way?
Well, yeah, my Twitter's at Finlay Martin. My website's finlaymartin.co.uk. Links to my books are there. How can people find you, Kenny?
You can find me at KennyMC1985 at Inside_TheRopes. Go over to youtube.com/InsideTheRopes for loads of bonus content this weekend. Also go to patreon.com/InsideTheRopes. Head over there on Sunday. We're updating the levels tomorrow and Saturday. But if you go over there on Sunday, all the new levels will be available. You can have a look at them and have a look at what they include and then pick which one is right for you. And we will join you over there. Next week, Finn's interview with Awesome Kong will be going up over there, which is very exciting. So lots to come. So
absolutely, yes, absolutely. Yeah, well, enjoy the show tomorrow night, Kenny. I look forward to reviewing it with you next week.
Yes, we will be back on Monday on the Overrun on Patreon, covering either Takeover UK or All Out, and then we'll cover the other one with the rest of the week's news next week. So we will look forward to talking to them. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you soon. If I said tonight